This time, in honour of this station's 20th birthday, you may have heard something about that, Culturefile asked music columnist and critic Michael Dervin, someone who's been observing music in Ireland over the last two decades, to tell us about the evolution he witnessed. As you'll hear now, something that left a huge, if unexpected, impression was the rise of Irish opera. But there are also one or two apps that play a part in the story.
The biggest change is accessibility. MP3 files, file sharing, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud. Everything and anything is now just a click away. Well, almost everything. Composers everywhere have a digital reach that was unimaginable in a pre-internet era. The music of Irish composers is more readily available around the world than ever before. In 2000, Jennifer Walsh's Os Mo Cheann, Out of My Head, an intimate, startling and slightly disturbing work for voice, violin and stones, announced a major new talent. She has gone on to invent and retrospectively compose works for an Irish avant-garde that never existed. The collective Grouphat was her sole creation, and she invited other composers in on the act in Aisteach. The books documenting these fake artists are a matter of wonder in their own right. That same year, 2000, Lyric FM took the unusual step of presenting a Gerald Barry Festival. And both Gerald and Jennifer have been part of the most surprising turnaround of the last two decades. The mainstreaming of Irish opera. The first time I tried to set up an interview with Jennifer, she was in Stuttgart working on her opera Die Taktik, Tactics. The first time I actually interviewed her was in Amsterdam, where she was in rehearsal in the Muziekgebouw for her new opera, Time, Time, Time. The Dutch premiere of Donnacha Dennehy and Enda Walsh's The Second Violinist took place in the same venue a short time later. Jennifer Walsh is hard to imagine unless you've seen her. She's half writer, half performer, half artist. For Grouphat, there's a book, there are CDs, there was an exhibition. So she made these fictional works, invented the childhoods of the people she had created, and even did false press reviews, and did them all in the right style for whatever publication, if there was a real publication involved. So she's one of those composers who's, on one sense, the kind of thing that people would say it's totally mad, but when she hits the target, it's just amazing. Opera by Irish composers has seen an unheralded transformation. It began actually a little bit before Lyric FM with Gerald Barry's The Intelligence Park, which was seen in London and Dublin in 1990. And the transformation got fully into gear when Gerald's The Bitter Tears of Peter von Kant was produced by English National Opera in 2005. Production of this all-female opera on Rainer Werner Fassbinder's play was the first time in over a century that an opera by an Irish composer was presented by a major international house. My name is Peter von Kant. Gerald Barry is kind of unique in that he does something that shouldn't work, but does work. And a lot of that has to do with the way he sets text. It's like you took some kind of crazy machine to the text and chopped it up in bits. Bits of it go very fast, bits of it go very slow. So he kind of explodes the text. In spite of the fact of how crazy that seems, it actually works. So his opera, The Importance of Being Earnest, is very, very funny. The then director of opera in Covent Garden called it the first comic masterpiece of the 21st century. It is a seaside resort, and he'll find you in a headbag. Gerald's operas have also been seen at the Albright Festival in Paris, Berlin, Basel, Los Angeles, New York, Nancy and Fribourg. Donacha Donaghy's operas have also travelled around Europe and crossed the Atlantic. And there have been other works by Siobhan Cleary, Raymond Dean, Brian Irvine, Ian Wilson. In October, Andrew Sinnott will become the first living Irish composer to have a work on the main stage of the Wexford Festival, something that was once utterly unimaginable. The number of composers working in Ireland has grown exponentially. The financial crash was bad for funding, but it was good for enterprise. Composers began to take their fates into their own hands. The list of living Irish composers has risen to over 250, though it has to be said that most of them don't actually make their living from writing music. For the commemorations of 1916, RTE and the National Concert Hall joined forces to create Composing the Island, the biggest ever festival focusing on the work of Irish composers. In September 2016, it covered the century between 1916 and 2016, and its 28 concerts had surprises for everyone, not least the fact that two women, Ina Boyle and Rhoda Coghill, had undertaken major large-scale works in the 1920s. The Waking the Feminist movement in theatre spawned a similar concern in music, given the preponderance of all male concerts in Composing the Island. And the landscape for music by women, whether living or dead, has begun to change as a result. The National Concert Hall is running a dedicated series and has a new commissioning scheme that is only open to women. The new music groups Concord and Crash Ensemble both have female artistic directors, and Belfast's Hard Rain Ensemble is conducted by a woman. It's not just women who are benefiting from the revival and reassessment. In 2017, Opera Theatre Company presented a concert performance of the first ever Irish language opera, Robert O'Dwyer's Aetna of 1909. No one in the record industry seems to have foreseen the MP3 revolution. And 20 years ago, no one foresaw the transformations in Irish opera. I take to try and predict what the musical future will bring, except to say that we'll have a way of surprising us all.
Michael Durvin there on the rise of Irish opera.